You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Darren, so very shortly after your playing career ended, you, I guess, officially stuck around, joined the Rangers front office as a special assistant to John Daniels. How would you describe your role and what your responsibilities are these days?
I mean, I kind of like working a lot with the minor leaguers, and I actually talked to, I talked to JD a lot, but I talked to Mike Daly and Paul Kruger probably the most. They kind of hit up the minor leagues part, and that's really the part I enjoy the most. So I kind of working with those kids, and you can tell they're very, very hungry. They're more acceptable to listening. I'm not saying the big leaguers don't listen, but, you know, they're big leaguers. They're already up there, and, you know, they got a good staff, so I try not to get in the way and stuff like that.
All right, so that's where you are now. I want to go back to, I guess, the very beginning, a young Darren Oliver growing up, the son of a Major League Baseball player. Not a lot of people get that experience, and you know, even though we identify it every time there's someone playing whose father or grandfather or family member also played, there aren't a ton of people, relatively speaking, who grew up the son of a major leaguer and then got to play themselves. But what was that experience like for you with your father playing in the big leagues for around a decade and getting to grow up with him as dad?
I mean, I was pretty young. But, I mean, I think what it kind of teaches you is, you know, not to get too overwhelmed with the game. You know, don't get caught up in, you know, it's Major League Baseball. Because, you know, when I was a kid, I just saw my dad playing baseball. But it was like a job. I didn't really look at it different, being in the clubhouse, running around with my brother. You know, then when you actually become a big leaguer, you know, I'm not going to say that you're used to it or whatever, but you just don't get overwhelmed by being in, you know, big stadiums and that kind of stuff. It's still a game, and you just try to have fun with it.
Did you want to be a big leaguer from an early age? Was that always the goal, like when you were a little kid and growing up?
Man, I wanted to be a goalie for the hockey team. What are you talking about? yeah, I think that's what every kid always puts on that paper when the teacher asks them, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you see kids write down, you know, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a policeman, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a nurse. But I used to always put on the sheet, I want to be a Major League Baseball player. And the teacher would always say, you know, hey, you get, you know, just in case, you know, that doesn't work, it's very hard to make it. You know, you got to put something else. But I still kept putting baseball player anyway. I didn't care. You know, as a kid, you don't know any better. You don't know how hard it really is to make it. So you just figure, hey, if I just practice and practice and practice, I'll make it.
You didn't put on those sheets, Jared Sandler's broadcast partner for Frisco Rough Riders games?
You know what I mean? You know I'm the black Tony Romo, so I don't know what you're waiting on. You know, hey, I play a little golf, too, so.
It all fits.
I'm like the poor man's black Tony Romo. That's what I call myself.
We got to get you that $18 million deal to do those.
I can say that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can't say that. You can say that.
Exactly.
All right, so you mentioned that your experiences growing up made it, I guess, easier to transition to the bright lights of being a big leaguer and everything that entailed and the big stadiums. And if I'm not mistaken, not only were you just 22 years old when you debuted, but you debuted at Fenway Park. So I guess that could be an overwhelming experience for a lot of people. What do you remember about your major league debut, not only being as young as you were, but also getting to do it on that sort of a stage in that historical ballpark?
It's pretty funny when you first see that ballpark, especially when you're on the field. I mean, you know, you're out there shagging, and obviously you're going to shag in left field because you want to look at the wall, you want to touch the green monster. And it was funny, the first thing I remember is looking at all the dents that were in the wall. it's like so many dents in that wall from the balls, you know, going out the wall, probably coming in pretty hot. 100 miles an hour or so, and then it's a lot smaller than it looks on TV. It's like, wow, this park's pretty small. The walls, it's just different. It's just different when you see it up close. And then when the game starts, at that point, I didn't think I was going to be pitching, so I was kind of just relaxing in the bullpen, you know, watching the game. And next thing I know, we go extra innings, and the phone rings, and they ask me to get up. And, I mean, you talk about somebody, I was nervous. I was scared to death, not going to lie. And the guy that works in the minor leagues now, Gino Petrolli, he was my catcher. And we still joke about it today because the first pitch I threw, it went to the backstop up against the screen.
Do you remember who you faced, who your first – your
Yeah, it was Mike Greenwell.
Okay.
He brought me into the face, Mike Greenwell. And I didn't know what I was doing. I don't even really remember warming up. I just remember going out there being scared to death, and first pitch went way over his head back to the screen, and there was a guy on first base. He goes to second, and then I ended up – I had to intentionally walk him, and then they took me out. So that was my debut. Didn't go well. But I was like, hey, thanks for getting me out of here, man. I mean, I was like, what is going on here? It was very, very different. It's funny. I tell kids that now. I think, of course you're going to be nervous. I go, you're human, of course. I mean, that's just part of it. But it got a lot better, obviously. But that first game, that was tough. I'm glad they didn't have social media back then. I might not have ever made it.
Well, I think you figured some things out because very few people have a 3-year major league career. You had a major league career over 20 years. And a big part of that was spent pitching during the height of the steroid era. And I guess I'm curious for not only that, you pitched your home ballpark when you were with the Rangers. This was at the peak of the ballpark being a hitter's park. I mean, the jet stream was in full effect. Not only that, but you had guys who were hitting balls further than they ever had. With muscles popping out of their jerseys. And I guess I'm curious, for you as a pitcher, what was that like? What was that like pitching with against those sorts of disadvantages and having to do that as you were trying to establish yourself as a big leaguer?
I mean, you know, at first when you hear about it, you know, you get kind of mad because you were facing guys that were on steroids. But then once you kind of sit back and really think about it, I mean, granted, I did pitch against some guys that were you know, were taking illegal drugs. But on the other hand, there was guys on my team that were doing the same thing. So I benefited from them scoring a bunch of runs, you know, to get me wins. Granted, the ERA might have been bloated a little bit, but, you know, I always see guys complain about, oh, I had a pitch in the steroid area, and guys were, you know, but they had guys in their team that were scoring a bunch of runs and hitting home runs at a ballpark, too, to make their numbers a little bit better as a pitcher, too. So it's kind of a give and take. You know, it was what it was back then. I'm glad I didn't have to take it and have to answer questions about it. But it was, you know, definitely a tough part of the game that happened. But it's kind of tough. I mean, and obviously a lot of guys that did take it, some of them have some health problems now, which I mean, that's what they get. So eventually it's going to catch up with you down the road.
Now, one of the other notches on your belt, you were the first pitcher to pitch in an interleague game. I remember very vaguely, because I was young, the build-up and the excitement. I guess some people weren't so excited about it. They didn't like the idea of interleague play, but I think a lot of people were. It was an opportunity for fans to see different teams and different players than they previously were able to. What do you remember about that as a player? What was the build-up? What was the excitement like of interleague play becoming a thing and I guess your role in being a part of it?
Well, first of all, let's be honest, Jerry. You were probably just a little baby still burping on your mommy's back.
I remember watching 30-minute episodes of SportsCenter. That's how long ago it was.
Hey, it was weird. I mean, it was very weird. The fact that we had to play the Giants on top of that didn't help matters. You know, Barry Bonds in the lineup. Thanks a lot for that. But I think, guys, people were complaining about it, but I think it ended up being a good thing. And, you know, I kind of enjoyed it. You know, you get to see different ballparks, play against different guys. I don't think it doesn't really take away from the World Series because you only play the teams, you know, for 3 days. It wasn't like you play a big set unless it's like an interstate rival like the Astros back in the day. But I think it was great. And I think what they should do now, they should let the pitchers hit to kind of spice it up a little bit, but that's just me being a pitcher that who likes to hit.
Well, I don't have – what were your hitting numbers?
Did Man, you need to look at that. I'm not even going to tell you. Just Google it.
Wait, good or bad?
You'd be quite impressed.
Okay.
I always shoot you straight, Jerry, even though I climb around a lot, but I always shoot you straight.
Were you – who – okay, so I remember Bobby Witt was a good hitter, right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you guys have any sort of, like, internal – competitions or bets as to, you know, if you got a hit, you got this. Do you remember anything like that? Because I know you pitchers always think you can hit, and I imagine once you got the opportunity, I'm sure there was definitely smack talk or something that went down.
You can't really do it too much in American League because you don't play enough games against the National League teams. But when you're in the National League, where I was for a few years, we definitely had games going on. You know, for a sack bunt, you'd get like a certain amount of points, you know, stuff like that. If you didn't get the sack bunt down, you get like minus points. And the pitcher threw money in, you know, at the beginning of the season, and, you know, winner take all. So that was a lot of fun. Kent Merker, guy used to pitch for like the Braves and St. Louis, he was the mastermind behind that. And we had a lot of fun with it. It was great. I mean, we'd be laughing, you know, during the game when a guy didn't get a bunt down or he did get it down. So it was it's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, pitchers, we're kind of we have a whole lot of time in our hands anyway. So anything we can do to kind of keep ourselves focused during the game is great.
All right, so I see 48 career hits and one career home run. This was while you were pitching for the Rockies. What do you remember about your major league home run?
I'll give you this scenario. So we had a guy, Sandy Alomar Sr. He was our third base coach, and we got along pretty good. And he used to always talk a lot of junk about, hey, man, when you going to hit a home run? And just always jawing. And as a pitcher, sometimes you get into that swing mode because you're not playing every day. So I'm like, I don't care where this pitch is, I'm swinging. I remember the guy pitching. I was just like, I was ready to swing, regardless. It was first pitch. And I hit it and went straight away to center field. And I remember one of the guys in the pen jumped in the got it for me and went in the pond in the back at Colorado. And, man, as I was running around the bases, I was like, man, my career is complete. I might as well just go ahead. It was already past the fifth inning, so I had already had the W in my pocket, hopefully. And I was like, I'm good. Let's go ahead and take the uni off, and I'm done for tonight, guys.
Did you still have the ball?
I got the ball, the video, I got it all, man. You kidding me? Come on. I like hitting more than I like pitching.
You could have retired at that point.
Right?
Now, I guess you ended up playing another however many years and didn't hit another. So were you, like, those at-bats after, were you just swinging for the fences thinking, hey, I can do this again? Or, like, what was it like after hitting the home run?
No, I always like to hit. You see the numbers. You see the average, so I could hit.
Yeah, career 221 hitter. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
You had 20 hits in a year. There's some big leaguers who maybe go half a season without 20 hits.
I know. I saw Tony La Russa a few weeks ago. I was out in spring training, and he was out there with the Angels, and we were laughing about it. And he used to let me pinch hit a few times. Most of the time, I was just bunting, but I was always had my cleats on ready to go. So, it's a lot of fun. It's almost like playing, you know, summer ball as when you're in high school or something like that. You get a chance to pitch and you get to hit and you get to slide and run the bases. It's definitely something that I always cherish.
All right. Darren, you were a part of the very first Rangers team to make the playoffs, the 1996 team that won 90 games. And, you know, I was watching Game 6 of the 2010 ALCS the other day, and you could almost feel a newness from the fans, the excitement of, you know, never as an organization had never been to that point, just the opportunity to win a game, to go to the World Series, and how exciting it was. And I imagine it was very similar that year because the franchise had never gone to the playoffs since 1972, no playoff appearances. And that was a really fun team, a team that became the first team in franchise history to make the playoffs. What was that year like, and how special was it to be a part of that team? And I imagine to have the environments you guys played in front of with the fact that this was a team that had never done this for this fan base.
It was great. I mean, Kobe Lewis and I, we still talk about it from time to time because I think in spring training, there's like a picture of either me jumping on him or him jumping on me. I mean, I feel like it almost felt like that was like the World Series. You know, the fact that we got by the Yankees to get to the series. It was, you're talking about excitement. It was crazy. I mean, especially going out afterwards, seeing people. You walk into a restaurant, people are clapping. I mean, it was just great for the city, for baseball, for the fans, the organization. It was. I mean, it's just something that I don't think any of us will ever forget. And I just wish that, you know, I can't wait to see other guys get to that point. But you just don't know how much fun it is to actually keep playing after the season's over. Because you still have another month of baseball left, and you really, really get a chance to connect with the players, their families. I mean, you see, like, their parents or brothers and sisters, you know, at the game, at the ballpark, and you just – it's just like a big family atmosphere. It's a lot of fun.
And what about that 96 team, the one that was the first to make the playoffs? What was that like? What do you remember about that? You were, I think, 25 years old and early in your career, and to be a part of a team that made the playoffs the first time in franchise history.
That was pretty special, too. I remember pitching in the game. I think it was like the first home game, and just the electricity in the air. The fact that I can actually remember that, I'm surprised I wasn't too excited, too pumped up. But it was just, that's definitely that team right there. That's probably one of the as far as like just everybody getting along, because you got to remember this was '96, so there wasn't a whole lot of. I don't think there was too many cell phones, social media, so you actually, believe it or not, had to talk to people. So after the game and on the airplane flights and stuff like that. You know, you had nothing else to do. Some guys play cards on the plane, but you're still talking amongst guys on the plane. So there wasn't a whole lot of, there really wasn't a whole lot to do. So guys would just be in the back. You could actually smoke cigars on the plane. You know, it was a little bit different. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, if something were to happen during the game that day, I just remember being going back in the bathroom and seeing like Will Clark and Mickey Tettleton and those guys. And they'd just be in the back hanging out. And they would explain, you know, what they saw during the game and would kind of give you some pointers of what they think you should do. Instead of the pitching coach or the manager or maybe one of the other coaches always telling you what to do, you know, the players kind of coach themselves, which is great.
All right. Darren, when you were – before you turned 34, you had made well over 200 starts. If I would have told you at that point that you'd be playing for about another decade – what would you have said to me?
I would have laughed. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, like, what? Really? No way. I never thought I was going to play that long. And I, every year when I got older, I was like, you know, when's my shoulder going to give out? When am I going to just give up a bunch of runs one day and it's over, they're going to let me go? I mean, it's always on your mind. Let's be honest. I always call it like you see it. But I mean, I just kept rolling. And I was like, wow, this is, I guess I'll play another year. I mean, why not?
And you did so transitioning from the rotation to the bullpen. I guess I'm curious, what do you remember about that first year where you really became a reliever? And were you open to it? Did you look at it as, hey, this is something that could prolong my career? Did you fight it? What was that dynamic like when you went from being a full-time starter to coming out of the bullpen some and then eventually being exclusively a reliever?
It was, I know I was with the Mets, and Willie Randolph, he was pretty cool with me. He always made sure that he gave me extra time to get ready. So I didn't really know how to get ready in the bullpen and stuff like that. You know, I would talk to other guys down there, but you really don't know until you start doing it yourself. So he actually helped me out a lot, and it was pretty good because we had a pretty good team, so that helped. You know, the fact that I was in New York, that didn't really help, but I'm glad it worked out because, you know, in New York, they had to boot you right out the field. But after that year, you know, I kind of really understood what it took to get ready and how it kind of worked down the bullpen. And it was kind of smooth sailing from there. And I always would pass that advice down to other guys when they were in the bullpen or when they'd come up from the minor leagues. Because it's not easy at all. I can tell you right now, it's not easy, especially when you got to go in there and, you know, face some tough hitters, because they're not bringing you in there. You know, usually they're bringing you in there when the game's on the line, and you know it's like feast or famine. And usually, if you do bad, you're getting blown up on ESPN or baseball or something like that, and that's not what you want to watch. they're like offensive linemen, guys in the bullpen. Only time you hear about them is when they screw up.
Was there a moment where everything really clicked for you as a reliever, where it's like, all right, I've got this down. I've got the rhythm. I know what I'm doing. Or did it just kind of gradually happen?
Yeah, it's kind of gradual. I mean, it just depends on how much time you really have to get ready. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. Sometimes I get that they need to bring in somebody else just to see a different arm or something like that. But it's not that easy because sometimes you really don't know if you're really, really quite ready the way you want to be. And, you know, then when you go in there, it's just different. I can't really explain it. You have to be out there in the pen and run out there on the field. It's just one of those things you kind of need to be out there at the moment to kind of understand.
As a starter, let's say you started on a Sunday and it didn't go well. It was a bad start, you know, by whatever measure. Maybe it wasn't statistically a bad start, but in your head you didn't feel good. Whatever the case, you would then have a few days to get your mind right, get your mechanics right, whatever. What was it like for you having a bad outing out of the bullpen and then being asked to go back out there the very next day? Did you like that? I guess mentally, how did you process all that and how did you overcome how were you able to bounce back after a bad outing the day before?
To be honest with you, most relievers, when they have a bad outing, they want to get back out there real soon because usually if you have a bad outing, you probably went like maybe one inning, you've given up a few runs, so your ERA is blown up because you don't have a whole lot of innings. So you want to try to go out there as much as you can and put up some zeros to get those numbers back down to respectable. So that's usually the first thing that comes into a reliever's head. And then you want to go out there to get rid of that bad taste that you left yesterday, get that bad taste out of your mouth and go on a little run. I mean, we all know as pitchers or any athlete, you know, you go on a run, you get hot, but there's going to be a times where you're going to have some hiccups. You just hope the hiccups are kind of minimal. You know, you give up maybe 2 runs in one inning instead of 4 runs in one inning. You know, guys going with the hitting streaks, you know, they're hot. You know, they're like 20 for 50. And then all of a sudden they know it's coming where you're going to have one of those things where you're like 2 for 25. You just hope you keep it to a minimum where it's not 2 for 50. You know, maybe just 2 for 15 or something. Or you just have a bad series. It's just the way sports is. It's always been like that, and it'll continue to be like that.
All right, Dio, last question I've got for you. You were a big leaguer at 22, and then you were a big leaguer at 42, maybe 43, when it was all over. What was it like when you think about your time as a 22, 23-year-old, and then as a 42, 43-year-old, if I ask you to just consider both ends of that spectrum, what are some of the things that stand out, whether it's just the difference personally and interacting with teammates, or maybe it's the way the game was played? What are some of the things that over that two-decade stretch really evolved for you on the back end of your career when you also think about the front end?
The front end is mainly the people you associate yourself with. I feel like when I was younger, you know, I didn't really talk to the same people I talk to now. I always said when I got to the big leagues, I would never treat a kid. I won't play that sophomore, you know, the senior sophomore thing where I wouldn't talk to a kid. So regardless of how old I was or how much time I had in, if a guy just got called up, I would always go up to him and talk to him and make him feel welcome. But I mean, granted, we might not hang out off the field. Like when I got older, I kind of hung out with one of the trainers for the Rangers, Kevin Harmon and Jose Vasquez and Matt Lucero and Jamie Reed. You know, I kind of associate myself with, you know, pitching coaches, the older guys over my age. But I never really treated a young player with no respect because I just remember when I was young and it was a little bit different. And, you know, you just kind of feel a little like an outcast. Some of the older guys might not talk to you as much. So I always wanted to make sure everybody felt welcomed.